Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Koinonia Hour. Like I was just telling Howard a second ago, I'm going to probably have to start calling this the Howard Hour. Anyways, it's good to have you back, Howard. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Let's start here today. I want to talk about the He Bible. And why do they call it the He Bible? Well, it's pretty simple. Our Heavenly Father in heaven is our great He. And the 1611 Bible, the finished work of God, is for that reason called the He Bible, because it was built in the image of God. This is God's image on this earth. So wherever you see the word He or Him in this Bible, you can look at that as talking about this Bible. And we're going to see why this Bible is so powerful. We look in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. He's in the image of God. Now look at this next sentence. In the image of God created He him. Notice it's a double E, H-E-E, him. He created He, the He Bible, in His image. This is the 1611, known as the Great He Bible. So it may take a little bit getting used to this, but this Bible is considered a person, a living being. And we'll see that in a few scriptures here. In the image of God created He, him, male and female created He, them. Now, one of the biggest problems God has is people creating idols or images. That's warned throughout the whole Bible. But He can create an image of Himself, which He did in the form of man, in flesh and blood, but He also created His image in the form of a book. Lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. First two words of the New Testament is the book. And so this book, the 1611 Bible, is the image of God. And then He tells us in Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, and no one of these shall fail. This book will not fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth has commanded and His Spirit has gathered them. That's a powerful, powerful scripture. It's where He shifted from calling it the book of the law to now calling it the book of the Lord, which is the image of God. Now we go over to John chapter 6. If we can find that here, John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The Spirit quickens everything. The flesh does not profit anything. The words that I speak unto you, this is Jesus speaking, they are spirit and they are life. This is unlike any other book on this earth, because this book is alive. It's a person. It's an individual in print. A lot of people don't look at it that way. I had a friend that threw the book on the floor and said, this is nothing but ink and paper. And it's just like the Holy Ghost just went out of the room. And that was in a church. And that church closed down within 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. Now we look at Hebrews chapter 4. Scripture 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, which is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. How could a book be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart unless it were alive? This word discerner, translated into numbers, like so many other places, is 1611. The 1611 depends on which form it comes in. We have this form. We have this form here. And I'll show you one here that this is kind of a pretty one. This is the Mayflower edition from Plymouth Rock.
Wow.
By the way, Plymouth Rock comes out to 1611. As does Mayflower Compact. See, the great event there in 1620, and if you take 1620, 16, 20 is also the 2, you drop the O, and you have 1611. Two ones is a 2. That was where they developed the government in America, and they set out the Mayflower Compact. But in 1607, there was Cape Henry, in honor of King James' son. Cape Henry was founded. And when they landed there, they took timbers out of the boat, built a cross, planted the cross at Cape Henry, to dedicate and give America to God. So oftentimes things are used many different ways. And you could say the two witnesses on this earth are England, where they printed the Great He Bible, and America, where much of it was distributed. They're like two witnesses. Also, you could say the Old Testament and the New Testament are two witnesses. See, God has duplicates of many things or images. America, in a sense, and England are images of Israel because they work with Israel. The Balfour Declaration, that's the development of the reestablishment of Israel. And then America has been the loyal friend to Israel. So we see these things. This book is called the He Bible because it's a person. And once you understand how this person operates, you will begin to see why every one of you need a He Bible in your life. Now we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then notice the big ampersand. You don't remember what an ampersand is. An ampersand means and, per se, and. Two ands and a per se. Per se is Latin, which means something by itself. And an ampersand is like a billboard on a freeway. You go down the freeway and you see a billboard, stay at our hotel, come to our resort, buy our shoes, come and eat at our restaurant. It's trying to get your attention to do something. God is trying to get your attention in the 1611 He Bible to pay attention to what he's saying. What does he say here? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Ampersand. Pay attention now. Saw something important, something equally important or more important. Ampersand is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction on instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is what the job of the He Bible, this agent of the Holy Ghost, has come down into your life, that you may be perfected, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the way you do that is through inspiration of God that is profitable, learning doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That's what this book is all about. Now let's go over to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. You might say in the beginning was the He Bible, because every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is how we're to live. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, ampersand. Pay attention now. Ampersand. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's kind of hard to get a hold of. The book, the Word was God. Then he says in 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Ampersand. We know this is talking about Jesus. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. So, we're going to look at a number of scriptures to help us understand what this He Bible and what it means to be a He Bible. It means to be a person. It means to be a living being, a discerner of the intents and the thoughts of our heart and so forth. We go over to Wisdom of Solomon, to the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha holds keys. It's a Levitical bridge. It's not an Old Testament. It's not a New Testament, but it's a Levitical bridge that helps us join the relationship between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and how they work. We look at Chapter 18, Scripture 21. Listen to this carefully, because we're going to stretch your minds today and stretch your legs, maybe in ways that you've never looked at this book before. For then the blameless man made haste. We're talking here about Moses. But there's always the secret of wisdom, Job tells us, is that all things are double to that which is. The secret of wisdom. I better go to Job there. And you got this is one of the key verses in the Bible. Let's see if I can find this. Job 11:6. If you don't have this verse in your wheelhouse, you're missing out on a lot of things, because this opens this whole Bible in ways that you can't imagine without seeing this, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom. God likes that program. I've got a secret. He's got the best secrets. I've got a secret. That he would show thee the secret of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. And then I like the tagline, know therefore that God exacteth thee less than thy iniquities deserve. God is so loving and so merciful. He doesn't exact all that we deserve. But that first line there, that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom. If you want to know God's secrets in this Bible, you got to realize that they are double. That word double comes out to 16:11, to that which is. See that? Everything is double. So we go on back here to the Apocrypha, chapter 18, 20. For then the blameless man made haste. The blameless man, obviously, there is Moses, but it's also the 16:11 He Bible. It's the blameless man. It's the perfect man. That's why he's called a he. That's why he's a man. It's in light of the Father. And stood forth to defend them and bring the shield of his proper ministry. What's the proper ministry of the He Bible? Here it's going to be listed. Even prayer. Those of you who are prayer warriors, intercessors, you know this is part of the proper ministry of God. The man, the blameless man, the He Bible. And the propitiation of incense set himself against the wrath and so brought the calamity to an end, declaring that he was thy servant. This Bible, this He Bible, is God's servant on this earth. You get that? A picture? This is his servant. Look at 22. So he, double E, which means we're talking in the spiritual, overcame the destroyer. Well, we know the destroyer. Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. He's telling us here that he, the He Bible, overcame the destroyer. Wherever this He Bible has gone and people are in subject to it, it overcomes the destroyer. The role of the She Bible is a nourisher, but the role of the He Bible is to be a fierce man of war to overcome the destroyer. Every nation that built and that walked around the great He Bible begins to prosper. When you get the He Bible in your life, you will see that the destroyer is no match for this man of war. So he overcame the destroyer. And notice how the He Bible overcomes the destroyer. Not with strength of body, nor with force of arms. Back there, little old Josiah, when he found the correct Bible, the Word of God, the image of God, and put it into effect, it changed his whole kingdom. There were others that found it, and people began to give them presents, and it stopped wars. I believe that was Jehoshaphat. He sent the Levites out city by city to teach people the word of God, the He Bible. And they no longer had wars around them. The nations began to fear Israel, began to fear. Mm-hmm. And the devil began to fear you if you put yourself in his book. This is God's book. This is God's doing. This isn't some man that put this together. So he overcame the destroyer. And it's a double either, which shows this is a spiritual. Remember, all things are double to that which is. Mm. Not with strength of body nor force of arms, but look what he said, but with the word. But with a word subdued he, him, that punished. That's the devil. Alleging the oaths and covenants made with the fathers. Brought up the covenants, brought up the oaths. This is a big legal document. This is a court proceeding. You got to get it. See this. So he overcame the destroyer, not with strength of the body, not with force of arms, but with a word subdued he him. You want to destroy the enemies in your life? It's with the word. It's with the He Bible. We fought the Civil War. It was the South used a She Bible. The North used a She Bible. It was two women having a cat fight. Go study that out. The South was being pushed by the Catholic Church. The North was being pushed by the Puritans. Both of them were trying to get rid of God's He Bible. And they were satisfied temporarily with the She Bible, but then they even want to get rid of the She Bibles. They're both trying to get rid of the King James 1769 blending. Both the North and the South use the same Bible, and they were killing their own sons and daughters because they didn't understand the role of the He Bible and how to submit to it. Listen to what it says a He Bible is. We're going to chapter 18 of Wisdom of Solomon, scripture 15. Thine almighty word leapt down from heaven out of thy royal throne as a fierce man of war.
Wow.
Get that. This He Bible is a fierce man of war. God is telling you what it is. All things are double. Pay attention. Into the midst of a land of destruction and brought thine unfeigned commandment. He brought the unfeigned commandment. Didn't say commandments here, said commandment. Got to understand the difference between commandments, as in the Ten Commandments, and the commandment of God, as explained in Mark chapter 7. The commandment of God is the first commandment with promise, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the earth. This is the commandment of God, because this is the reestablishment of the tree of life. All things are double. We have it back in the Old Testament in the garden, but then they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they reversed the roles of the he and the she, and God said, no, we're not having that on my earth. You're going to have to get out of the garden, he told Adam and Eve. We can't have it. We've got to get you to understand the He Bible and the She Bible, and the importance of both of those. And so he reestablished a type of tree of life. Your earthly parents are your first tree of life in the physical. We've said this before, but it helps to repeat things, to see things. Mm-hmm. Then you have Abraham and Sarah. Look to Abraham, your father, and look to Sarah, the mother that bare you. They are your tree of life in the framework of faith. then you have your Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Mother. The Jerusalem that is above is the mother of us all, it says in Galatians 4. So that's another role of father and mother. And what did he say? The commandment of God is honor your father and your mother. So you honor your earthly parents, whether they're good or bad, because they hold the office. Now, we're in flesh, and no good thing dwells in the flesh. We understand that. So then we go into the spiritual world with Abraham and Sarah. Then we take it to another level, our Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Mother. And then we take it to another level, the great He and the great She Bible. They are your tree of life on this earth. So you got to kind of see how this all works together. Thine almighty word. Word leapt down from heaven out of the royal throne. Royal throne, royal comes out to 1611, and throne comes out to 1611. So one would be the Urim, one would be the Thummim, one would be the He Bible, one would be the She Bible. As a fierce man of war, when God sent the He Bible down to this earth, he sent it as a fierce man of war, so that you can have a helper to defeat the enemies in your life. And the church said, now we don't need this, and threw it behind their back. The great cathedrals of Europe and England that had the 1611 Bible, they threw it away, threw it out in the streets. Probably didn't literally throw it in the street, but they sold it to a vendor. Said, we don't need this anymore. We're going to make our own Bible. And that's what the church has done. And God calls that strange fire. Nadab and Abihu grabbed the strange fire. And what happened? God warned them, don't take the fire that's from your own fire pit that's on earth. You take the fire that I sent down from heaven. They refused to do that. They had seen God. They had eaten with God, it tells us in Exodus 24. And yet they still tried to do it, take a shortcut, and have it the way they wanted it. Their fire looked like God's fire, but it didn't have the anointing. And so God slew them with fire from heaven. And God is destroying church after church in America today that has been offering strange fire. 2,000 to 3,000 churches are going out of business every year in America now. And many Muslim churches are replacing them. And God said, if you don't like me, I'll give you your enemy to rule over you. If you don't like my 1611 Bible, I'll give you the modern Bibles. There's all about 200, 300, 400 different versions out there. People are picking, I like this one, I like that one. And bookstores are selling them, making money. And God said, you have at it, but it's going to destroy you. It's like rat poison. Rat poison is 98% food, it's bait. So these Bibles have a lot of the words that the King James 1611 Bible has, but it's that 2% poison that will kill you. See, you can take and make it look like God's fire, but it's not God's fire. So, the Almighty Word is God's Word. Almighty comes out to 1611. I like how God puts these things in there, leapt down from heaven. And that word heaven is powerful. Notice the first two letters are he. He's telling you the word heaven is male. The word earth is female. But heaven, earth starts out with an ear. He's trying to get you to hear on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the he, the masculine. Then you have the A-U, not A-V, A-U that stands for gold, or stands for the word. If you do the numbers on that and you study it out, it'll come out to basically 1611. Then you have EN on the end of heaven, which stands for English. And what Bible did he finish God's word in? He finished it in an English Bible in England. Okay. A fierce man of war into the midst of a land of destruction brought the unfeigned commandment honor your father and your mother, the unfeigned commandment, as a sharp sword. This is the commandment of God. If you've never studied the commandment of God, you need to get that in your thinking. Maybe someday we'll do a whole broadcast on just the commandment of God. I've kind of shared it here with you. But the traditions of men have destroyed the commandment of God. Go read Mark chapter 7. You'll get a clearer picture on the commandment of God as a sharp sword, and standing up filled all things with death, and it touched the heaven, but it stood upon the earth. I think we'll just go quickly to Mark chapter 7. I'll get off on these rabbit trails, but this is so important to see. Start with 7:7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. See, men try to mimic God. And when men create their own commandments, they're creating an image, just like an idol. For laying aside the commandment of God. You see that? Laying aside the commandment of God. Now, commandment there comes out, translated into numbers, it's 16:11. Laying aside the 16:11, ye hold the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said to him, full well, ye reject. And the outer court says, you frustrate the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Everybody likes to keep their own tradition. We learn tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father, ampersand thy mother. You see the emphasis he puts on the woman here? He says, pay attention now. It isn't just the father. But this whole program can't operate without both the father and the mother. They're both extremely valuable to me. Just get to know which role you're to play. Honor thy father, ampersand thy mother. And whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. You break that commandment, the commandment of God, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Not a very pretty picture. Let him die the death. This is what God is saying. It's not what I'm saying. I'm quoting what his He Bible says. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whosoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. I don't have to really honor my father and mother. I can be free of that. Call it Corban. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother. You have an obligation to honor your father and mother all the way up till they pass away. And when they're in their old age, you're to take care of them and to help them. It explains that in this book. Making the word of God none effect through your tradition. If you break the commandment of God, you make the word of God to none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things ye do. Wow. And when he had called all the people unto them, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Wow. There is nothing from without a man that enter into him that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, they are they which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If you've got ears to hear, boy, listen, because this commandment of God is extremely important. Okay, let's get back to Psalms 18:48 says, He delivereth me from my enemy. The 1611 Bible will deliver you from your enemy, because this is the word of God. And this word comes into you as you read it, as you meditate, as you believe it, and as you memorize it, it begins to become your protector and changes your life. Proverbs 16:7 says, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Wow. This is what the He Bible can do for you. Go to Isaiah 42:13. This is a extremely important verse here. Isaiah 42:13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. It says it's as. That's important. It's like he's not a man like we are, but he's as a mighty man. And then it says he shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. The He Bible stirs up jealousy like a man of war. You reading a He Bible and you get finding this, you as a wife, we're all in the flesh, so we're all like a female, and we're getting married to this He Bible. And this He Bible will stir up in you a jealousy against all other pagan Bibles. You will not want them. You will not even begin to, you won't be able to stand them. Some people have burned them and all things. You do what you want to do. I keep them around a little bit to compare, to show how wicked they are and how corrupt they are. All you got to do is read this He Bible. You'll not find a Bible on this earth better than the He Bible, or even like it. It's a fierce man of war. Now, I've looked at a lot of Bibles. I've spent a lot of money on books and Bibles. I've even read the Quran, I think twice. I've read the New American Standard, I think 20 times in 20 years. It doesn't even remotely hold a candle to the 1611 Bible. I had a good friend up here this last weekend, was showing me some of his newest discoveries in the 1611 He Bible, that the things that we are finding, every letter is like a fingerprint. I've mentioned this before, but bears mentioning again. And he showed me images of a lamb, a shepherd, a dead lamb, carved into letters. I mean, it's incredible, the images that are there. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. Mm-hmm. And you get a good photographic copy, even of an original 1611, you can see these images even on some of our cell phones. You can blow them up and you'll see things. Wow. I don't know. Oh, I got it on there. I was going to show one on my phone, but I can't show it because the phone's going. But we look at Scripture 13, and the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry. Think about that. He shall cry. That word cry is used many, many times in the Bible. And you take the little word cry, C has a numerical value of 2, R has a numerical value of 6, Y has a numerical value of 1. You add those together, you get 9, which is the sum of 1611. Our job is to cry the 1611. Yea, roar he shall prevail against his enemies. Notice the switching of the spelling of he, double E. Once you start learning some of the basic keys of English, this book will take you into another world. It'll change your whole thinking. There's no other Bible that does this. The double E says, this is the spiritual. This is the He Bible. He shall prevail. It says, behave himself mightily. He, this book, behaves himself mightily because this book is a real person. This book is alive. It can discern your intents and thoughts of your heart. So he will prevail against your enemies. Look at Scripture 14. I have long time holding my peace. Mm-hmm. God speaking. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman, and I will destroy and devour at once. Mm-hmm. That also could have a double meaning there, that's the He Bible. I, as a He Bible, have holden a long time, holding my peace. It's been almost 400 years since anybody's paid attention to this He Bible. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I'll destroy and devour at once. If you will notice, just go online, type in 1611. You will find the 1611 is beginning to cry like a travailing woman. It's powerful stuff. It's prophesied in the dedicatory that King James, you can't separate him from the book, that they will be the wonder of the world at the end of the age. Well, let's go to another verse. Let's go to Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is He. Wouldn't need to put that word He in there. It could have just said, for the Lord your God goes with you to fight for you. But he doesn't say that. He says, for the Lord your God is He, double E, emphasizing the role of the personhood of the Bible, the Word of God. The Lord your God is He, double E, which means the spiritual, means the book. The Lord your God is He, the He Bible, that goeth with you. When you carry a He Bible with you, the Bible's going with you. The Lord's words are going with you. It is He that goeth with you. Now, why does He go with you? To fight for you against your enemies, to save you. I don't know about you, but I get chills up and down my back. I think about, wow, God has sent his He Bible down to this earth that it goes with me almost everywhere I go. And why is it going with me? It says it fights for me against my enemies to save you. Wow. Word save, if you understand English, it's a root, integral S, so you drop the A. The Bible also sues you. It tells you that in Deuteronomy, I believe it's 31. We'll find it here. 31, take this book of the law, that was later changed to the Book of the Lord and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. This book plays a number of different roles, and one of them is to sue you because you committed a crime against God called sin. And the only way you can get rid of that sin is Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, and you have to repent and ask for forgiveness. Now, Joshua 3:13 is an extremely important verse to understand about the big box churches and the box that Israel got so enamored with that he had to take it away from them. And you shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest prepare the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan. So what does he say? The ark of the Lord, comma, the Lord of all the earth. The ark was playing as a representative of the Lord on all the earth. Now we saw earlier here in Deuteronomy 31 that the book was put inside of the ark to be a witness against you. So what he did here in Jeremiah 3:16, he said, you're no longer going to be focusing on the book. On the box. And most churches, they focus on the big box. I call them the big box churches, big, giant mega churches and so forth. They have this big building. I call the building the box. And the building, they spend more money and time on the box and then following a man and his tradition than they do on the book. That's why he said, put the book in the side of the ark. And so what happened here, the ark represented the Lord of all the earth, because he always has something physical on the earth. First, he had the tree of life. Then later, he had the Ten Commandments. Then he had the ark that he put the Ten Commandments in. Then the people started worshiping the box instead of worshiping God in his book. And the book was inside of the ark. So then now the book is the Lord of all the earth. See that transformation there? So the 1611 Bible now is the physical representation of God on the earth. And so he's saying that I gave you this book that is going to go with you, it's going to fight for you, and it's going to be against your enemy to save you. The mighty man of war. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 25 says, he must reign until he's put all enemies under his feet. Notice it didn't say Jesus must reign, which is saying that. But it's saying the Lord must reign, but it's also the he there can be referring to the he Bible. The he Bible must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. Zephaniah 3:15 says, he has cast out thy enemy. He will joy over thee with singing, and he will rest in thee with love. 2 Samuel 22:18 and 20 tells us that he will deliver us from the strong enemy. His job is to deliver us from the strong enemy. Wow. Isaiah 40:11 says, he will feed thee, and he shall gather the lambs. So all of this is relating to the He Bible, and get a hold of that. Now let's go over to Isaiah 40. This is a very powerful chapter dealing with this book. Isaiah 40. Now look at what it says here. The promulgation of the gospel, the promoting of the gospel. Then it's prophesying of the preaching of John the Baptist. Then it takes us to the preaching of the apostles. The prophet, by the omnipotency of God. And I like this next phrase, and his incomparableness, then comfort the people. God, there is no one you can compare God to. He's incomparable. And obviously, if he is incomparable, and he gives us a He Bible, the He Bible is going to be incomparable. There's no book that's going to be comparable to the He Bible. When you look at the grandeur of the great He Bible, there's nothing comparable to this book. I mean, the original book called the 1611, the only one called that, the only one called the He Bible. How many Bibles are known as the He Bible, except this one? It measures 16 by 11. It's called the 1611. And without the covers, weighs 16 pound, 11 ounces. We've shared that before, but I want to go through this chapter here because this is such a powerful chapter all about the He Bible. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Remember what he said in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, ampersand, the Word was with God. The Word was going with God, and the Word was God. So when he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God, this becomes a type of our God on the earth, because it gives us our instructions to submit to. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, 1611, unto her, that her warfare is accomplished. Isn't that amazing? Even Jerusalem. All of us as females are in a war. But we need the great He to protect us. Whether you're a man or a woman on this earth, it doesn't matter. You're still in the flesh, and the flesh is represented as a concept, all things are double, as a female. And so every man, every woman, we need the protection of the great He Bible to do the warfare, because the battle is the Lord's, who has accomplished that her iniquity is pardoned. For she, notice that double E there, and you've got to watch these double E's because they show the spiritual concept of what's going on, hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. This world is like a big wilderness, and the voice of him, the He Bible, is crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. What's preparing the way for the Lord to come back to the world? I believe it's the great He Bible. It's preparing the way. This also is talking about John the Baptist. Make straight the desert a highway for our God. This book needs a highway. Right now we're on the internet. It's a type of highway, which is this book is preparing the way. Those of you that have got ears to hear, you'll get yourself as quick as you can a image of the 1611, or if you want to get an original 1611, those are available, but they're hard to find. But you can get also copies are readily available of the 1611 He in the 1833, which we have here, which is in Roman type. or the 1611, which we have here. This is a 3/4 size of this. Make straight in the desert. America is a desert full of bones. The valley of dry bones. What resurrects the dry bones? It's God's word, God's holy word. His He Bible will put fat on your bones. It'll put flesh in you. It'll put sinew in you. It'll raise you up and you will become an entirely new creature. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What does he speak? He speaks the word of God. What is the 1611? It's the true finished word of God. And the last word in the book is finished, just like his last word on the cross. It is finished. The voice said, cry. Cry, 1611. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The word grass comes up to 10. The word flower comes up to 10 because they're both things are going to fade away. Those are temporal. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely this people is grass. We're all grass. The grass withers, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Normally, the word of God, the is 3, word is 13, 3 and 13 is 16. Of is 8, God is 3. Wow, that comes out exactly to 1611. Here it changes the phrase. It says the word of our God. So translate our God into numbers. What do you get? 1611. Again, our is 6. God is 3. 6 and 3 is 9. The sum of 1611. God has put this in here thousands of ways to tell you the 1611 is the word of God. You can't miss it. All you got to do is do the math. It's really simple to learn it. We have a little code book that if you want to get, you can get. It shows you easily how to translate words in the number. But it says here, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's for all eternity. That's millions and trillions of years. This book. When you get to heaven, I believe God's going to have classes on the 1611. And I know I'm going to be one of the first. Well, I never saw that. I never saw this because it'll just open to you. I see things almost every day. Every time I study this book, the same passage over and over, I see more and more. He just opens it to me. And he will do the same for you. The word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion. I like that phrase. O Zion. O is 4, Zion is 5, 4 and 5 is 9. He's telling you the male, the he part of his image of his arm and his thumb is O Zion, the church. And if you look in the outer court, O thou that telleth good tidings to Zion. Well, who tells good tidings to Zion? Well, God does, but his book does. You see that? O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. Then he says, O Jerusalem. And the outer card says, O thou that telleth the great tidings to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem comes out to 1833. This book here is in 1833. It's the image of this book here, This represents Zion. This represents Jerusalem. You got to see these pictures, these words within words, the wheel within the wheel. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Wow. He's talking about his book. Lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Over in Psalms, I believe it's 40. Behold, the Lord your God will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for them, for him. His arm shall rule for him. This is his arm that rules for him on this earth. I hope you're getting the picture why this book is so important. This is unlike any book that tries to be an image or an idol of God's book, because they're without life, they're without breath, they're without spirit. This book has spirit and life in it. That's the difference. And you can tell it. If you're seeking God and you want to know God and you're hungry for God, get your 1611 Bible and watch it transform your life. He'll teach you. The Holy Ghost will teach you. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Reward comes out to 1611. Work comes out to 1611. Isn't that beautiful? He shall feed his flock. So the Holy Ghost feedeth you and gave his own blood. See that double parameter again. All things are double to that which is. Well, he said, he shall feed his flock. This he Bible will feed the flock. This he Bible is like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs. People that understand the 1611, they're like lambs, and they're gathered together. They become one. It's a thrill to meet someone. I was meeting a Lutheran pastor in Arkansas, and almost always the question I asked to every pastor, well, what Bible do you read? And this pastor responded to me, there is only one Bible. I thought that's going to be interesting for a Lutheran, because most Lutheran pastors are in modern versions. He said, there's only one Bible. I said, well, what Bible is that? Out of curiosity, I want to see what he And he said, it's the King James 1611 Bible. It's the only one. And immediately from that point on, we became like brothers, and we were friends all the way up to his recent passing, going on to glory. Wow. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and he shall carry them in his bosom. This Bible, like Abraham in a bosom, this Bible has a bosom. Let me see if I can get that. See? You can get into the bosom of this Bible, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? God has done all of this, the great he. God himself is the great he. We know that this book, God is not confined to this book. He created this book, all that we need to know. And he's so much greater and grander. But he has made this book for us to be the Lord of our life on this earth. Who has directed the spirit of the Lord, or who has been his counselor and taught him? Who has taught this book? You can't. The Holy Ghost put this book together. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. record in heaven, and they are one. Wow. Don't confuse the Holy Ghost with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is kind of like a helpmate to show you, shed light on what the Holy Ghost has done. It says the water of the Spirit and the blood, they are witnesses on the earth. With whom took he counsel, and whom instructed him and taught him the path of judgment? Did you know that judgment has a path? Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show you the path of life.
Mm-hmm.
There's, and notice, that's not an accident that that's scripture. 16:11 shows you the path of life. This Bible will show you the path of life. If you can find a better Bible than the 16:11, hey, show it to me. I'll throw this away. But I have looked high and low and spent thousands and thousands of dollars on Bibles and have found nothing remotely close to the 16:11. I have NIV. I have New American Standard. I have the New Jerusalem Bible. And I've looked at all of these, and I've read many of these, or at least portions of them. But I find nothing when I compare remotely close to a 16:11 Bible. And everybody that says these Bibles are easier to read, easier to understand, wow, you haven't read a 16:11 Bible, or you haven't believed, because once you read it, you'll see the depth is so much deeper. Most people have never read a book in English in their life. They don't even understand the basic rules of grammar of English, the factotums, the rotunda R's, the integral S's, all of these things that help you understand how the book operates. We are ignorant in this world. There's a path of judgment, and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding. You show me any Bible that can show the way of understanding better than this, and I'll be a candidate. But gonna have to look pretty hard. I've looked all over and found. Behold, listen to this here. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. By the way, this is God's bucket. Bucket comes out to 16, which is shorthand for 16. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he, here again, the He Bible, taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All these nations are fighting each other, thinking that nations are important. And God says they are the small dust of the balance. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts are sufficient for a burnt offering. Listen to this, next 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. So why would one nation want to conquer another nation if the nations are less than nothing?
Yeah.
We've got our priorities so mixed up. Jesus said, what should a profit a man if he gain the whole world, gain all the nations, like Napoleon trying to be a king of the whole world? What should profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? Your soul is more valuable than all the nation. They're less than nothing and vanity. Keep it in perspective. United States, England, Europe, Russia, China, they're all vanity, less than nothing compared to this book, compared to your soul. Compared to even the property, the house you might own, people are trying to get houses and build themselves a little plantation on this earth. You're only going to be here for about 100 years. You're going to be in eternity for billions of years. Don't you think you should be building for eternity? I want to spend my time, and I foolishly spent a lot of time wasting time trying to get earthly things until I began to realize everything is vanity. All is vanity. The only thing worthwhile is Jesus and saving your soul and his book on this earth and the work of the Holy Ghost here. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Whom will you liken to this book or compare to it? It's foolish to compare an NIV, a New American Standard, ESV, to think that that is a Bible. That is a graven image, not a Bible. And you might say in kind words, it's rat poison. Now, God can use verses in there, but it doesn't have the anointing and the power that this book has. And I know that from personal experience. And a man with an argument is no match for a man with an experience. Once you experience this book, you won't want any other book. I've never met a person yet that has experienced this book. I mean, really experienced it, where it's got into their life and they start to understand it, that has ever wanted to go back to any of the modern perversions and versions. You just watch. Okay, the workman. Look what it says in 19. The workman melteth a graven image. All your modern Bibles are graven images. And these are graven images too, only this is the correct image. Because it's graven. Print is graphe. It's graven. And it's an image of God. This is an image of God. This is an image of God. The 1611 family bears the stamp and the image of God. You can pick up any King James Bible and get really blessed. There are some that are much deeper than others, and you want to eventually go to the 1611 He Bible. I recommend people that are new to start out in the 1833. This is the image in Roman type in a Catholic print, which is very good because we're all basically lost Catholics and we need to get saved and get into the ultimate, the image of God. Now, you can get saved, I believe, without a Bible. I know that. But if God is speaking and the Holy Ghost speaks to you and you repent and turn to him, there are people in China and other nations that don't even have the Bible, don't even know about it. You can get born again. But if you want to grow and to mature and to become a perfect man of God, you're going to eventually, and he will lead you to this book. And I know that from, I had a friend who was a missionary on the Russian-Chinese border. And when someone got saved, if say they were Russian, he would give them a Russian Bible. Someone that got saved from China, with Chinese background, he gave him a Chinese Bible. One day God spoke to his heart. He said, why don't you start giving the new converts a King James Bible? He said, well, they don't speak English. They don't read English. Give them a King James Bible, the Lord said. So he started handing out King James Bible to the new converts, even though they couldn't read a lick of English. They discovered within 2 to 3 years, the people that got the King James Bible, they were light years ahead of those who'd gotten a Russian Bible or a Chinese Bible. Not only that, learned English, the Angelish language. I was debating, or I don't know if it's debate, but talking with a Jewish believer, and he was trying to convince me that we're going to speak Hebrew in heaven. Well, we probably would. I doubt there'll be Hebrew in heaven, but Hebrew is just consonants. Greek is consonant and vowels, but English is consonant, vowels, and liquid letters. I believe I said we're going to be speaking English, and I think that was the language of the Garden of Eden. It's what he says, declaring the end from the beginning. What he starts in the beginning often happens in the end. We don't see Hebrew popping up in the Bible till Genesis chapter 11, after the Tower of Babel. So that's my personal belief, that English was the language of the Garden of Eden. Dr. Moltzen would tell us, he was an esteemed Hebrew scholar. And my favorite line in his great big thick book, or I guess about that thick, when you're speaking English, you're speaking refined Hebrew. Isn't that amazing? We're speaking refined Hebrew right now. Tyndale said there's a close association between Hebrew and English. Both of them are patterned around numbers, letters, and pictorial. So we'll get back to here. Okay. The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth over it with gold, and casteth silver chains. So that they're making an idol. He that is so impoverished that he has no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image, that it be not moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? He that has been told you from the beginning, have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? God is saying there's a big difference between an idol that a craftsman can make, because they don't speak, they don't talk, they can't breathe, they can't smell, they can't do anything. They're just a graven image. It is he, 1611, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The tent, again, comes out to 16. It's like a 1611. This Bible is a tent for us to dwell in. It's a path that bringeth the princes to nothing. The Bible maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Ever thought of the Supreme Court? Nothing more than vanity. Now we look at them important. They play a role. But you got to remember, compared to God, it's all vanity. If we're not in subjection and submission to God's great Bible, it's all for naught, because you're going to spend eternity, if you're not in subjection to God and get saved, you're going to spend eternity in hell. There's only two destinations, heaven and hell. And you don't, and this is for millions and trillions and quadrillion years. Wow. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he also shall blow upon them, ampersand, they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. That's what you'll become. We're playing for keeps here. And if you follow the modern people who are trying to teach English, they're trying to say there are not many different definitions of the same word. God is saying the same word can have many words within the word. So you got to be careful about guys like Noah Webster. They'll trip you up and they'll destroy your life. Noah Webster did far more damage to this earth than Hitler ever thought of, because he took the language and twisted it and shriveled it up. So you can't understand even the ampersand. He tried to destroy that. And he tried to make it so that even if you took definitions different than his, you could be fine. And I don't know if he ever accomplished that, but that was part of his scope. And he changed the Bible. He stole all the notes verbatim out of a 1611 Bible. He probably got them from 1791 Collins, but he took the sidebar notes word for word, but then he changed the text and he changed the gender of many of the words. Mm-hmm. And that's where we had all this gender nonsense going on in the world today, because it always starts about 100 years after it gets into the pulpit. Wow. Pulpit is God's center of government. To whom will you then liken me? Or shall be equal, saith the Lord. Who's equal to God? There's nobody equal to God. There's no Bible equal to his finished book. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, he who created these things that bringeth out the host by number, he calleth them by all by names and by greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power and not one failing. That's going along with Isaiah 34:16. None shall fail. Nothing fails if you're in God's camp. The He Bible. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Wow, this is powerful stuff. He giveth power to the faint. The He Bible giveth power to the faint. If you're weak in your faith and you want strength, get you a He Bible, because it's a fierce man of war. He'll build you up. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. What? Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But listen to this next passage. We'll sum up with this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon this book of the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wow. And that's the testimony of so many people I've seen get into. That's my own personal testimony. This totally changed my life when I got to the He Bible, connected to understanding how God operates and how God thinks. Amen. Any questions?
No questions, but I appreciate how you're teaching us, because a lot of people that are obtaining the He Bibles, they're having a little difficulty, but their hearts are so open. A friend of mine, Francis, has been using your code book, and I wanted to talk about that code book for a minute, because I highly, highly recommend that. If you are going to get a He Bible, contact Howard and ask for the code book to go with it. Because I've been going through it and learning little by little, and it takes time, but it's not hard. It's actually, the way you wrote it is very basic and really actually easy to understand. It just needed to be explained.
Yeah, so, let me get it.
Yeah, yeah. That, okay.
For those unfamiliar with the code book, that's what it looks like. And on the back, we have the charts of how to convert words into numbers. And you open the back here, and it'll give you some little guides on how to do it. And it doesn't read like a regular book. And there are a few typos on that's my fault. But you'll become like a ship on the high seas. Mm-hmm. It talks about, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You will start seeing the works of the Lord when you start understanding how God works. Took a long time for me to see this and understand it. God had to take me out of my church, and I'd started a second church. And one day I was walking up to the pulpit to preach, and it was a good sized group there. And God said, you don't know what a Bible is. You don't know what a church is. You don't know what I'm doing. Go into the wilderness and seek my face. And some of you that are starting out, it's a little hard to read with all these different spellings. But once you understand, start getting a hold of English and the rules of English, and get to understanding how God writes, he'll write the same word. Like the word, for example, is in the Bible five different ways, five different spellings. Many words, darkness is like five different spellings. And each one has a different meaning. And once you start catching this, your mind will begin to explode with excitement in your heart, and you start seeing this, and you become a different person, because you're going up against a fierce man of war. And that's not always easy, especially if you're not prepared for battle. And so this book will teach you that. But don't expect it to all happen overnight. Didn't happen for me. I've been doing this for years now. And I've read the 1611 now maybe 60 times, 55, 60 times. And I barely understand. So don't feel embarrassed or don't feel bad. But you're going to start growing growing like a weed, but you'll grow like a real plant of God. Amen.
I thought of that word while you were speaking. It's in Psalm 119. I think it might be 165. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You know, anything that you do overnight, and most of us have been with the Lord for a long time, we appreciate, you know, we've traveled quite a lot of miles. And so we're going slower and learning. We recognize the beauty, the value, the majesty, the grandeur. I don't even think any of these words even touch it, because the way you were describing the he, like you were using verses with he in it, and it was so powerful. And I was thinking about Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, where it says, where Moses has the song of Moses, and it says, for the Lord is a man of war. And that scripture came into my mind, and I think about how it says he marched with them through the wilderness. And so all these he's started popping into my head. And so I started to see, you have to be able to see it. And so now I'm thinking, okay, all the he's that I'm seeing is the 1611 Bible. But when you were describing the two E's together, like, or an E at the back of a word or not, right? Like if it has an E at the back of the word, it's spiritual. And Urim and Thummim, like you get the Urim and Thummim.
Two E's is spiritual, one E is the physical.
Right.
Now listen to this scripture. Thy statutes, because he has statutes, he has judgments, he has commandments, All of them are given at Mount Sinai. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And if you take the word pilgrimage and rightly divide it, the last part of it is image. Pilgrim, image. Mm-hmm. It's the house of my pilgrimage. This is your house. The 1611 Bible is the house, and our pilgrimage is our journey through it. As Psalm 119:54. And I like 119:63. Let's see if I can find that. Where did I? 119:63. I am a companion of all of them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. I'm a companion. That's a good place for a lot of people that if you're just beginning, is read Psalm 119 a dozen times. I mean, it's so much focused on the word and what mm-hmm. it is. And it goes through each of the Hebrew letters and gives you the whole Hebrew alphabet in one psalm. It's a house. It's a place of a mm-hmm. pilgrim. The whole Bible is a pilgrimage. Because what you're trying to do is you're the pilgrim that is following the image of God, and the image of God is his word on this earth, and you and I are in the image of God.
You know, I think of that word in Jeremiah 15:16. It says, thy word was found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for thou hast called me by my name. Mm-hmm. And then I thought of another scripture to see to see thy power, because he's reminiscing and he's saying to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary.
Amen.
You know, and we know God is a spirit, he's invisible. David's saying he's seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean would you say that verse would be that he's seeing something spiritually?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because he's saying. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I'm excited to see where your listeners, those that grab a hold of this book, are going to be a year from now. You're going to be getting testimonies back, and then they're going to become evangelists and maybe doing podcasts too. I mean, it's amazing that I've seen so many people that have just shoot like rockets into the
you know what I believe this, and a friend of mine, she's gone to be with the Lord many years ago. She's was probably in her late 70s at the time. Anyways, she's a mighty intercessor. Her husband, he was a friend of Samuel Reese Howell's, by the way. And yeah that's how I met him. David Neal and his wife was Carol Neal, and they were the real deal intercessors. And we were talking one day about how people will say, well, I've tried to read the word, but I don't know. I just they say I could read everything else, but when I read the word, I fall asleep. I get distracted. And so I just give up. And she said to me, and I could see it in her face. I could see that because she was so full of the Holy Spirit. She said to me, because the Holy Spirit waits to see who is serious.
Yeah, I would correct you on that. I think it's the Holy Ghost. I think the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Ghost. Yeah, the Holy Ghost. Yeah.
But what the key in understanding this book, Jesus said very simple, you believe and then you see. Most people try to see and then to believe. Mm-hmm. You're not. Read this and see it and then believe it. You have to believe it first, take it by faith, and then you'll begin to see what it's saying.
I agree. I know that scripture is saying, I believe, therefore have I seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that is true. And I do believe that he does see each person. Now, I'll leave it there. Each person's individual. I don't know what happens. Right. But I do know this in my own experience. I'll just keep it to myself, and that's a safe place to be and a fair place. Is even if I didn't understand anything I was reading, something deeper inside of me kept me coming back for more.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would just keep praying through, and I didn't understand anything at all, you know? And I remember something this pastor said is gonna, you know, Chuck Smith Sr. I heard him many years ago in the probably early 80s. And he said, when I was going to seminary, we were given a chunk of scripture to read, to study, to do a paper on. And he said, I was up all night long in the middle of the night. I kept reading it. And I couldn't understand what it said. I became so frustrated. I just shut my Bible and I yelled out, Lord, I do not understand what you want me to read. I don't understand it. And he said, I heard the Lord speak to me. I can hear his voice in my mind, but he said, I heard the Lord speak to me. And he said, I did not ask you to understand it. I only asked you to believe it.
Amen. That's a good, let's say a good point of view, or trying to think for the word. But anyway, the key is coming to this book and believing, and by faith. It's faith that opens the door. And if you don't believe it, I've had people pick a couple of 1611s that I can't understand it. It's because they don't believe it. If you believe it, it can unfold. You believe first, and then you see, man does everything backwards. He wants to study it out and observe and investigate and correlate, and then he's going to believe it. No, you believe what God says, and then he opens the door, and it gets wider and broader and more exciting.
Oswald Chambers said in his big, thick book I love it, it's so good. And he said, because that was his college book, he said, experience it first, and then he'll teach it to you later.
Amen.
Well, listen, thank you again so much for teaching us. I am as a student as much as everybody else that's watching. And you know, it's so exciting is that, you know, when we were talking the other day, and I'll say this quick because I know you've probably got things to do and I gotta go. Is that, you know, the work of God is really evident when, like, my even meeting you, that this is even happening, that you're on every week, that now I think you're saying a lot of people are, well, because people are calling you for Bibles, right? They can.
Yeah, I've had this week, yeah.
Oh, really? You've had calls?
Calls, even up here in Texas, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. See, but look at how he's moving, because now people are listening to this and they're like, what is this? It's like they're turning aside after the strange sight, right? The burning bush. What is that, right? Because this is so profoundly new to them, and people are so sick of deception. They're sick of those Alexandrian Southern Stream texts, which you called nothing but idols, the work of men's hands, that are dead letters. Yeah, there's some verses in there, of course. I understand. I want to be fair, but they're not anointed. It's not anointed like the He Bible. And so understanding about the He Bible is, this was an excellent study, because now me, even when I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to be looking at it at a whole different way now, Howard.
Yeah. You see the word He. Can be a double for the Bible.
Yeah, and that word in Job. See, I already had it underlined, but I always wondered what it meant. Like, I knew I'd find, I do that sometimes. Like, I don't know what that means, but I know sometime I'll find out what that means. And so I had it underlined. And today you talked about that. And I thought about those scriptures that says, pay unto her double, right? Like, in Revelation, give her double. Isaiah talks, give her double. Then you look at Pharaoh's dream, and I believe that's Genesis chapter 41. I think it may be 42. I think it's 41. And there's two places in there, but Joseph tells, I think it's verse 32, but he tells Pharaoh, both the dreams, God doubled. Remember, he says that he doubled them.
That's of God, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can go on forever, so I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to take away from the lesson. All right, well, listen, God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of the day, and we will definitely talk later and see you next Tuesday.
Okay, God bless.
God bless.